Back in July, when we traveled to Tokyo, we had a mission, we had a quest, and we have one hell of a football team, and I love you, God bless you, and thank you for being world champions.
Talk about being champions from July 7th. We're champions right now, we got one more to go. Congratulations for a tremendous effort, tremendous.
I understood the 49ers from the standpoint of growing up as a kid, and so I understood kind of the emotion of the community, but at the same time, the inner workings of the 49ers' way of doing things, and that I had grown up in it myself. I didn't really go into it with the idea I wanted to dramatically change anything. As my wife told me, you know, when I got the job, she said, George, don't screw it up.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
The San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Don Landry is 6 yards away from his sixth Super Bowl. And of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. Third and three. Montana looking, throwing in the end zone. It's a
now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. Takes the handoff, sweeps to his right, gets to the 20. He's at the 30. Needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline. Breaks the third tackle. Comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20. He's down to the 10. He's down to the 5. He's into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, 49ers! 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle. Swings down the sideline. Throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again. Goes to the 40, gets away again. To the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He dies. Touchdown, 49ers.
They get another play. Three-man rush, and Young stumbles on the way back and fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Oh, my God!
Third and seven from the New Orleans 27-yard line. 49ers enter the backfield. Smith on third down. He will take it himself.
Left hip. Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it. Post, and he's got it! On! Touchdown! Touchdown, 40!
But it's second down, Ryan takes the snap, goes to slant to the left side. It's Russell, intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman is rejected! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown!
Second down and four. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick. What a game. Touchdown.
The San Francisco 49ers. We can do whatever we want.
That's right. What's going on, faithfuls? It's your boy Mike from the Nothing But Niners crew, and I am here with our resident GM, Tony. Tony, what's going on, baby? How you doing? So far, so good, man. We're getting ready for this preseason game, man. It's coming up in 2 days. And, well, I guess depending on when people listen to this, I guess tomorrow. And we got a lot to talk about. We want to let people know what to look forward to, what to expect from a preseason game. You're not going to see the starters out there the entire time. But before we get into any or all of that, I want to talk about a couple of things that have happened with the roster. And that's why we got our GM here. So we're gonna break a couple of things down. But listen, so for the people out there who may not know, this is the Nothing But Niners podcast. We want you guys to make sure you check us out. We are on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, freaking Google Play, iHeartRadio. We are everywhere that you could possibly think of. Type in Nothing But Niners and we're there. Give us a follow on Twitter and on Snapchat. That is Nothing But 9ERS. All right, so make sure you check us out over there. And then on Twitter, I already said that. Then we have nothingbutniners.com. That's the website, all spelled out. Our email, nothingbutniners@gmail.com. You guys know where to find us. We are everywhere you want to be, like your Visa card, except we're dependable. All right? So let's break this down, man. There's been a couple of things going on with the roster, and I guess we can start with what's happened most recently and then work our way backwards. We got news today that the 49ers cut someone. So why don't you break that down for us, Tony? Let us know what's going on. You're the GM. Why'd you cut him, and what's going on?
Yeah, Mike, we cut Judah today. A little bit shocking, in my opinion, because at the beginning of the offseason, I was a big fan of this move. I guess Kilgore came to play. He was insulted by the addition of Judah, and he wanted to prove the team wrong.
Hell yeah. I mean, listen, so Jeremy Judah was, he wasn't just someone that we picked up. We actually traded for this guy in the draft. We traded a 6th-round pick, and we only moved back, what was it, like 6 or 7 spots, or was it 12 spots, something like that. Something insignificant.
Yeah, we swapped 6s.
Yeah, so it wasn't like we gave up a whole lot to obtain this guy. We moved back a couple of spots, and, you know, that's pretty much how it went. But it's the fact that when we acquired him, everybody was just so sure. They were so certain that this guy was going to take Daniel Kilgore's spot at center. Well, Jeremy Judah was a Pro Bowler last year. He's a Pro Bowl center, and he's got multiple Pro Bowls under his belt, and he's going to be this, and he's going to be that. And now, he's just like me and you. He's talking about the 49ers and not playing for him.
That's right.
So what went wrong? What do you think happened? Why do you think he couldn't make the cut? I mean, he's not just a center. He was also playing the guard position. Like, what? Why couldn't he make the team?
Yes, he played left guard when he played guard, which happens to be a position that is in need now due to another injury.
We'll get
into that later.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Mike, it just comes down. Maybe he lost the fire. He thought he was just going to get handed the job. Kyle and John said, we want competition, and maybe he wasn't up for that. Also, there might be an underlying issue that we don't know about. You know, there might be a slight injury.
Right.
Look, I just don't know. I'm very shocked. I'll be the first one to admit it.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are, Ben, because like I said, the expectations were high as soon as we heard about the acquisition. Everyone was saying that, you know, this guy's going to replace Daniel Kilgore, and Kilgore's going to have to move over to guard because Zuda's just such a better center. And then, yeah, people who use the advanced metrics and all that stuff, the people who look at PFF, people who look at things like that, you know, and Daniel Kilgore was not as good as Jeremy Judah based off of those numbers from last year. So, like you said, maybe there was an injury, right? Because they were going to let him go. The Ravens were going to let Jeremy Judah go. They weren't going to try to trade anybody. We looked into them for the trade. It's not like... You know what I mean? It's not like they were out and they had an open market and say, hey, guys, we got a guy. We called them and said, do you guys have any centers or what are you guys doing with these people? And if you remember, Ozzie Newsome was even going to cut him after John Lynch reached out to him and contacted him. And John Lynch said, wait a second, give me a couple of hours. Let me talk to my people here so we can trade. Let me try to work something out.
They actually announced the cut.
Yeah. And then they took it back. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Because John Lynch asked him for it. So you would think that if John Lynch was that adamant about someone, that this guy would have had a really good shot at making the roster. And that's what happened. Everyone got their hopes up, and now he's gone. We cut him today. So I'm thinking like you, it might actually be an injury that we just don't know. Something that doesn't show up, something that allows him to pass a physical. You know what I mean? But it could be a twist or a sprain, whether it be in the wrist, the knee, the ankle, one of those important joints for offensive linemen. You know what I mean? Maybe something in his elbow. Something that's not going to show up on an MRI or, you know, prohibit him from doing any kind of movements. Maybe that's what happened. But whatever the case is, he's gone now. And the Niners, they're not missing a beat, man. So that I would say that leaves us with an opening on the offensive line, but that's not necessarily the case. According to what we're hearing, he was even losing out to Tim Barnes.
Yeah. He didn't even get snaps the last 2 days.
Yeah. So
low snaps at guard, center. Butch Hill, I'm like, I'm just going to say something. It just shows that this new regime is no nonsense. We'll bring you in. We give you an opportunity. You take it and run with it, or you're out.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what I like.
That's how it should be. But you know what else that tells me? See, I didn't know what you just said. He didn't get any snaps the last 2 days. He wasn't on any injury report. That tells me he quit. That tells me...
He probably lost the fire.
Yep.
He thought he was going to come here and get handed the starting center job. And from what I read that he was persistent on playing center.
Yep.
He didn't want to play the guard spot.
Exactly.
So, there's no room for you, buddy.
Yeah, and so if you're not even willing to try out just because it's not the position that you want, another position that you're good at, you're adequate at, but you're not even willing to try, participate, you know, put your best foot forward, then that's what's going to happen, you know? You're kind of jinxing yourself, and you can't expect the team to just sit here and allow you to keep doing whatever it is that you want to do, you know? Correct. And so, like you said, I think he lost the fire, and it sounds like he quit. See, like, I had no idea he didn't get any reps at all the last two days of yeah. practice.
That's Ben Barnes has been taken with the second unit.
That's crazy to me. That's insane. He quit. I can't wait for the rest of the story to come out. You know what? The rest of the story won't come out. And if it does, we're going to ignore it because of what's happening with the upcoming game and the other holes on the offensive line. So let's get into that, man. let's talk about it, man. Joshua Garnett is... you know what? Before we get into Joshua Garnett and the rest of the injuries, we probably should have done this at the top of the show. It's very good to hear that Newsom is okay.
Yes.
We had a big injury, a big scare at practice last week. This week, I should say. And, you know...
It was yesterday.
Yeah. Chancellor James, you know, ran... He collided with Newsom. Newsom was out on the field. They thought that this guy was paralyzed. That's how serious of a hit this was.
He was knocked out cold.
Yep. And they said that
from what I understand, the offensive player saw James coming, and he just dropped. And there was Newsom, and James went right into Newsom.
Yep, exactly. So the good news is he's not paralyzed. He has full use of all his appendages, all of his limbs. He just has a concussion. We're saying just has a concussion because... Considering all the other, all the other possibilities and everything else it could have been, a concussion is a walk in the park in comparison. So, thank God for that. He's all right. We can move on now. But I did want to get that out of the way. Glad that he. You know what? This gives me a little something to cheer for now. You know, there's a lot of little stories here that we're all going to pay attention to and watch. Now I'm going to be looking for this young man in week two of preseason. He'll go through concussion protocol. He'll be back at the team with the team next week. And he'll be someone I'm looking for because, I'll be honest with you, I had no idea who he was before I heard about the injury.
Yeah, he's undrafted free agent out of Missouri.
Yeah, so what? He's wide receiver, I'm assuming? Tight end?
He's a linebacker.
See? This is my point. So two defensive players collided with each other?
Yeah, and the offensive player saw James coming and he just ducked and Newsom took the brunt of the load.
That's insane. So I got somebody else to cheer for now. See, I got to do some more research, but that's why you, my man, are the GM. See, you knew he was a linebacker. I had no idea. All right, so let's get to these injuries, man. Let's talk about Joshua Garnett. This offensive line is taking some hits, and probably the biggest one now is at left guard. Joshua Garnett's out. Do you know what his injury is?
I believe it's left knee. They noticed some swelling. He wasn't moving around well. This has been going on maybe for the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And from the reports I'm reading, he's going to get a scope tomorrow.
Mm-mm.
Should be out like 4 to 6 weeks.
I think it happened today.
Oh, it happened today?
Yeah. He had the surgery done today. And he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, but they're hoping that he can be back by week one, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But now that leaves, with that happening, that leaves an open at the left guard spot.
Not just an opening either. So for the people who aren't familiar, Joshua Garnett was a guy that the 49ers moved up in the previous draft to get at the end of the first round. We traded back into the first round and we picked him up. Yeah. We picked him up and they played him at right guard. Now, in college, he played left guard.
Yes.
Chip Kelly, in his vast knowledge, and that's the most sarcasm ever, Chip Kelly, in his vast knowledge, decided to move him to right guard and play him over there. And Joshua Garnett did not look good at all. So
it's hard to transition from left to right.
Yeah, especially for a rookie in a pro style. And then you also have to remember this. Joshua Garnett, he came from Stanford. So he had one of those deals like Solomon Thomas where he didn't just walk into camp on the first day. He was so far behind, he missed OTAs and some of training camp because of the
quarter system.
Yeah, exactly, because of the quarter system there. So he's making a transition from left to right, and you're behind on everything. Not to mention the physical training, learning the playbook, you're also learning a new position. And I know a lot of people think that, oh, it's just moving from one side of the line to the other, but it's not. Your footing, your timing, your hand placement, all of that stuff you have to relearn. Imagine trying to learn with your left hand if you're right-handed. Imagine trying to learn with your left hand in a couple of days.
It's tough.
Yeah. And so Chip Kelly decides to move him over to right guard. He has a horrible year. To the point where I didn't have him making our 53-man roster. When I did my little projections, I didn't have him – not going to say 53-man. I didn't have him starting as an offensive lineman. But it turns out Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch move him back over to the left guard position, and he's actually performing pretty well. He's doing a lot better than what he was last year, but his knee is now messing up. Got some inflammation in the knee. He's going to get everything cleaned out, get a little scope done, and he should be back in a couple of weeks. Now, we got a hole there. GM, what do we do?
Well, as of right now, Zane Beatles is filling in at the left guard spot. I also read that Tim Barnes took a couple snaps at left guard.
Oh, okay.
It would have been nice if Zuna would have tried to play the left guard spot, being that he has experience, but that didn't work out as we all hoped it would. Yeah, I mean, do I see them making a roster move to try to bring a guard in? Yeah. But we also have a Michigan guy, Eric Magason.
Right.
An undrafted free agent who's also getting a look at the guard spot.
So which one of these guys... Now, we know Zane Beatles has the experience. Tim Barnes seems to be the backup center. But center guard, they're usually like the two positions that swing and they go together. They counter each other. Who do you think is likely to take the snaps with the starting team at the left guard position? And again,
Zane Beatles.
As of right now, yeah, Zane Beatles, right?
It has to be.
I mean,
he was a starter last year.
He was a starter at a lot of different positions. He played tackle, he played center, he played guard. I mean, Zane Beatles did a lot of everything for us last year. And he wasn't necessarily good at just all of that, but it's the fact that he's versatile like that. His versatility is something that's going to keep him around and on a roster for years to come in the NFL. So
it's the real good. Positive out of it is he specializes in his own blocking scheme.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. So it's definitely.
As of right now, he's going to start at the left guard.
All right.
And to be honest with you, Mike, when we cut from 90 to 53, the starting left guard might not be on the roster right now.
Whoa. You're thinking that we're going to cut and grab somebody's leftovers and then pop them in as starter on our offensive line?
Maybe as a trade. You never know.
That's huge. That's really, because that's a bold statement, man. I'm not sure if I'm that confident. I do think that there's going to be someone on our 53-man roster that's not currently in camp with us right now. I absolutely think that. I think we're going to make some cuts, and I think we're going to see somebody out there that we saw. Maybe someone, we're going to open practices, team practices with who? Is it the Broncos?
Yeah.
Usually those are the teams that a lot of coaches will see guys that stand out, down their depth chart and be like, man, I wish I had him. So I wouldn't be surprised if we pick up a Broncos player right after the cuts, and then grab one of those guys and put them on our 53 or our practice squad.
It's possible.
So that wouldn't surprise me. Actually, no. If we're picking up a free someone who got cut, we have to put them on the 53. We can't pick them up and put them right on our practice squad.
No, it's got to be direct.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that'll probably happen, man. You're absolutely right. That's something that we'll probably see happening. There was someone else, too. Let me look through my notes here, because I'm forgetting someone. Who else got injured? Oh, how can I forget?
Malcolm Smith.
Yes, how could I forget? All right, break this down for us, my man. What's going on with Malcolm Smith? What's going on with the linebacker position? What does it mean?
Well, Malcolm Smith tore his pectoral muscle. I guess in a tackle or a block shedding drill. I don't know, because I'm stuck in New Jersey. I'm not fortunate to watch the practices.
Hey. You're our GM. You're there upstairs with the binoculars. You see everything, okay?
Yeah.
People don't need to know that. He's right there, guys. He's there seeing it all.
So basically, they brought Malcolm Smith in to help teach this system to Bowman and the rest of the defense. So unfortunately, he got hurt. So now we drafted Ruben Foster, and we have Ray Ray Armstrong. They're going to compete for that position, the will position. Honestly, if you could take Ray Ray, you can take Foster and combine them together, you have the best will linebacker in football. Because they're both phenomenal players. My opinion, I think Foster might be the starter. It's going to be tough to hold off Ray Ray now.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a blow. To that defense.
Absolutely.
He was brought in, they gave him a big contract. He had an excellent camp from what I read. And he gets hurt. Now, well, you know, Kyle wanted to have a physical training camp. You're starting to see the downside of being physical.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted them to be as physical as possible without taking guys to the ground. We've heard the term thud up over and over. And what that is, for people who don't quite understand it, it's just when they go to tackle, your pads make contact as if you're going to tackle them, but you don't take the guys to the ground. You just hit them, you make flush contact, and that counts as the tackle. There's no need to.
There's a nice pop with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what he's saying he wanted. That's what he's getting, and we're still getting injuries, you know. Kyle Shanahan said that for the last two seasons in a row, so here comes number three now, but two seasons in a row, that's with Atlanta, he's lost guys in training camp for the season. Well, it's three in a row now. It's three in a row. But, you know, between the Mike, the Sam, and the Will linebackers, I think my three favorite guys going into the season were Navarro Bowman, Ray Ray Armstrong, and Ruben Foster. Those are my three guys that I wanted to see on the field together at the same time, okay? And so when we picked up, when we had Malcolm Smith, I wasn't the biggest fan of him. My uncle's a huge Raider fan, and he tells me all the time about how he's a liability in coverage and all that. And, you know, he's not the guy they wanted. Then you hear Robert Saleh coming out and defending him, and even John Lynch saying the Raiders were misusing him. He's back in the right system. He's back at home now. We're going to see him play better. And from my understanding, he was actually having
that
a really...
That is true.
Yeah. We were hearing that he was having a really good camp, right?
Yes.
So I was like, all right, maybe he's better. Maybe he's better, but I still don't want him to start. I still love the speed of Armstrong, Foster, and Bowman. That's what I was looking forward to seeing. All right, so that was ugly. I'm sorry. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, I still don't want Smith to start. I'm not happy that Smith got injured, but I'm happy that it's likely now I'm going to see the three linebackers that I wanted. But even with seeing those three guys, Smith's injury is going to be huge. And it's not huge because, you know, It's not a matter of it's huge because, you know, he's not in there. That's what I wanted. I didn't want him to be in there anyway. I wanted the other three guys. But now there's a depth issue. If we lose Foster, or if we lose Bowman, or if we lose Armstrong, who's coming in now? What other linebackers do we have left that are going to rotate between Sam, Mike, and Will?
Well, we picked up two linebackers over the last 3 days.
Uh-oh, here we go. I'm about to wreck.
2 days ago,
About to rep.
We picked up Austin Toledo out of Nova.
Uh-huh.
Nova. I'm sorry, make it three.
Three, that's right. Don't forget my guy.
Then we signed Dimitri.
Mm-hmm.
From?
Trenton, New Jersey. That's right.
And then we signed Sean Porter today when we cut Zudo.
That's right. So, first of all, let's pause really quick and talk about this. We cut an offensive lineman, and what position do we pick up right away?
A linebacker.
That says something. That speaks volumes to what they think we have behind whoever's next up. You know what I mean? Besides Foster, yeah. Armstrong, and Bowman, they're worried about the depth. I think that speaks volumes about that. So we have to pay attention. I don't think we're done looking for linemen, or linebackers.
Mike, can I just say something about Malcolm Smith?
Absolutely.
Okay. When they took over, they went into free agency looking to upgrade certain spots and schematic fits for this new defense.
Mm-hmm.
They jumped on Malcolm Smith. They gave him a huge contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think in the back of their head, now be honest, Mike, that they can get Reuben Foster at pick 31 in the draft?
Hell no.
Okay. So now do you think that move was made just to, I call it CYA, cover your ass?
Which move? Are you talking about picking up Reuben Foster?
No, Malcolm Smith.
Well, no, because they picked up Malcolm Smith before they got Reuben Foster.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. To fill that spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, without that, we only had Armstrong and we only had Bowman. And the next position was going to be a crapshoot. And I think that...
I think it would have been Eli Harrow or Brooks.
Yeah. Oh.
Lamont's playing the sand. Bowman's playing the mic. And now it's Foster and Ray at the wheel.
Yeah. So it wouldn't have been anyone near as fast.
Correct.
All right. So, but our depth, man. I'm worried. You got to talk to me, man. Talk me off this cliff. I'm on a ledge right now. I'm serious, man. I don't know, man. Like, we get an injury, and all of a sudden Brock Coyle is in there starting? Listen, Brock Coyle knows the system, and yes, he was brought in for familiarity, just like Malcolm Smith. But Brock Coyle had 24 snaps at the position, at linebacker. If it wasn't special teams, Brock Coyle didn't play for Seattle.
You're 100% right.
So who do we have now? Like, where do we go?
As of right now, Brock Coyle and it's Jason Dimitri at the middle linebacker spot. It was Donovan Newsome, but obviously he's out with his concussion.
Hmm.
The outsides, behind this Brooks at the Sam, you have Harold, Dakota Watson, and P to T.
Right.
Now the will is Reuben Foster, allegedly, Ray Ray Armstrong, and Austin Calitro, the other guy that was signed. So you're right. We really don't have experience, that veteran with experience.
Exactly. Experience is what's missing now from the depth. And that's why I wasn't mad about the Malcolm Smith signing. I figured we can do a whole lot worse as a backup linebacker than Malcolm Smith.
Now, you know one thing about Malcolm Smith?
I know two things about him.
He can play both the mic and the will.
Yeah.
So if something did happen to Bowman, either Foster would slide in and Smith would stay where he's at, or they would flop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a big piece to lose. It's a huge piece to lose.
You're right.
It's like, honestly, all right, check this out. Check out this for a comparison. Let's tie this all back together. It's like losing Zane Beatles. It's like losing Zane Beatles from the offense. Someone that can play all the different positions.
With experience,
yep. Like, that's exactly it. That's exactly it, and versatile. Like
that's another candidate to be someone brought in when it's the cut down time.
Exactly.
From 90 to 53.
Exactly, man. So, I mean, this. I'm a little worried, man. Should I be worried? Should I trust the system? Or am I overreacting? What do you think, man?
Let's see what it looks like Friday.
Friday.
Listen, we could talk about this all day. This is a new system, new players, 50% of the roster is new. I think.
Yeah, close to it. Hell yeah.
We have to see what it's like. We knew what the old roster was about. This new regime came in, clean house, brought in fits for the respective offense and defensive systems, and let's see what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, man. I'm going to calm down. Friday will be here soon. I guess tomorrow, for those of you who are listening to this on Thursday, it'll be here soon, and we're going to have to know who exactly we can depend on. I'm going to be watching, man. This linebacker position is something that I'm going to be a little worried about, not going to lie. Offensive line is something that I'm worried about, and I'm definitely worried about the secondary. Now, good news from camp today is that most of the secondary was healthy. Other than my guy, Dante Johnson, other than DJ, everybody else seemed to be healthy in the secondary.
Yes.
So we should get as close to
and
good...
And Ward. Don't forget Ward.
Yeah, Ward. Oh, Ward was back, wasn't he?
No, he was on the side field working out.
Oh, I didn't see his name in the report. Damn it, Ward. Listen. All right, you know what? Let's go ahead and get into this. Let's get into the preseason talk because it'll lead to Ward eventually. What are we looking for in the preseason game? All right, so it's not a regular football game. It's not going to be the starters versus their starters for all four quarters, right?
Correct.
So what should we expect? How are the starters playing? Are some of the starters playing? Like what? How do we break this down for the fans who don't normally watch preseason football? What's preseason football about? And what should we expect?
Well, first of all, I found out today with the Kyle interview that the starters are playing the first quarter. Basically, what we're going to be looking for, like I just said before, it's a new roster, two new schemes. They want to see what's going on. Who's going to perform in these systems? Who's going to step up? Now, I'm not going to get into this in this podcast, but when it comes time to making decisions on who's staying, who's going, or possibly you could trade this people that we have younger talent that could do the same thing for people in return to, like, upgrade the roster, that's a whole different scenario. But in my opinion, you're going to see some drastic moves with this team because, remember, Kyle and John got six-year deals.
Yeah.
And they're... they have the time behind them, so I don't know if you got, if you know, Mike, but a couple years ago, that receiver from New England Patriots, Hogan.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was on the 49ers.
What? No, I didn't know that.
And he was cut.
Wait, that's the guy that they called 7-Eleven in Hard Knocks, right? Because he was always open?
Chris Hogan, yes.
Huh.
He's from New Jersey.
Jersey.
He went to the University of Monmouth. And he was on the 49ers roster, and they cut him at the final 53.
And he went on to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Correct.
Ain't that a bitch? Oh,
so
I think
Kyle... he's going to do what's best for his team and his system.
Okay.
Because there's no point. I'm not going to get into it. We're not getting into that right now.
No, come on. Finish your thought. Finish your thought, and then we'll bring it back to what to expect from preseason. I got you, man. Don't worry.
There's no point of keeping somebody, a group of people that play the same position, offer the same special team value. One is this age, one is that age. Okay. One is all over the media in camp so far.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, come on, call out name. You're talking about Trent Taylor.
I'm talking about Trent Taylor.
Uh-huh. Media's loving this guy. They're eating him up.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been getting open. He was brought in by Kyle.
Uh-huh. Everybody that was drafted, everybody that was... signed as a free agent following the draft, undrafted free agents, all of those guys, every single one of them were brought in by Kyle.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple guys that were brought in by Kyle
that
would, if I take over a corporation and I'm in charge.
Call them out. Come on, man. You can say names. Let's go. Let's get into it. Come on now.
All right. I honestly think Jeremy Curley might not make this roster.
Because of Trent Taylor and what he's doing.
Because of Trent Taylor and Victor Bolden.
And Victor Bolden. Okay. Yes. I thought you were going to say Kendrick Bourne, but okay. All right. Now,
Kendrick Bourne's an outside receiver.
Now, you're saying that because of the fact that these guys were all brought in by Kyle Shanahan. They do similar things and play this similar positions, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, yes, these guys were brought in. Okay? They were handpicked by Kyle. But,
yes.
But, this regime offered Jeremy Curley that extension. So I could say the same thing about that. And Curley hasn't given up a single starting spot in that slot at the receiver position.
Okay. What was Curley resigned, Mike?
What did you say, when?
Yes.
He was resigned this season, but it was under, it was before the draft.
Correct. Now, this kind of falls to the Foster-Mathem-Smith comparison.
Uh-huh.
You had to sign, if you didn't sign Jeremy Curley, there was something wrong with you. Because I don't know if you agree with me, I think Curley was their number one weapon as a receiver last year.
Absolutely. 667 yards on 64 catches. Absolutely.
And he brought value as a punt returner?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So now you sign him.
Uh-huh.
Which I did some, I think Ali broke it down. What was it? God. They put something how it's a bunch of, it's like a one-year deal with team options.
With a bunch of team-friendly options, absolutely. And if you guys want to know what he's talking about, go and take a look at nothingbutniners.com. Look in the blog section. We got a couple of articles there that he's talking about.
So when you sign someone to that contract, you're bringing them back with a chance to compete and prove. If they were so sold on Curley being in the slot, would they have drafted Taylor?
Yes.
Would they have signed Bolden?
Yes. Can I tell you why?
Yes.
Who? This is my counter to it. You ready?
Go ahead.
Who's our starting quarterback?
Hoyer.
Didn't they draft another quarterback?
Yes.
Didn't they pick up another undrafted free agent for quarterback?
Yes.
This is my counter to your argument. You're doing it for depth, and you want to let the cream rise to the top. You want to see who is going to be the best of the best. You pick up the guys, and you sign the guys that you think are going to fit in your system. That's why you give Curley that extension, okay?
But you give him a chance to compete.
Absolutely. So they sign Hoyer, they extend Curley. Okay, now we got our guys locked down. We know at worst this is what we have. Good money, yeah. Right? Now, here comes the draft. All right, we already got Hoyer. It's okay, third round we're going to move up and we're going to get C.J. Beathard. Boom, he's there. All right, now we got C.J. Beathard. What are we going to do now with the wide receiver position? Well, we extended Curley, but boom. Trent Taylor. Now, Trent Taylor came in what, fifth, sixth round? Where was, I don't even remember where he was drafted.
Trent was in the fifth with the tight end.
Kittle, fifth round.
Kittle, yeah.
Fifth round, number five?
Yeah, so we had 2 fifth round picks.
Right. Okay, so look at where they picked him up. They weren't expecting much of him. Now, yeah, he's exceeding expectations, absolutely. I don't think anyone's going to deny that he's exceeding expectations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For sure, he's doing better than what people expected, you mm-hmm. know? But that doesn't mean that he's going to replace somebody. That doesn't mean that he's better than somebody. You get what I'm saying? Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. But Kyle's building this team for the future.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Curley's 28, going to be 29. Now,
uh-huh.
Do you want to risk developing Taylor for Curley? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say Taylor's better than Curley. It's if you stick with Curley, you're hurting Taylor.
No. This is the thing. This is what I'll say. The only way Curley gets hurt is if Curley gets cut. If Curley makes a 53-man roster, he doesn't get hurt by anything at all. Because you want someone to groom these guys on how to be professionals, on what it takes to survive in the NFL.
Okay? Correct.
You heard about Curley being tough and this guy doesn't mind delivering a blow and all that stuff, right? Like, he's not afraid to go in there and throw blocks and all that, right? You've heard all those stories, right?
Of course. Listen, I am not knocking Jeremy Curley.
No, I'm sorry. I said Curley the whole time. I meant to say Trent Taylor. We heard about how tough Trent Taylor is, how fearless he is and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now listen to this. Trent Taylor is one of the smallest guys on this roster. Okay?
Right.
Maybe, just maybe, he doesn't need to be as fearless. You're not hitting these little college guys anymore. These are solid, grown-ass NFL linebackers that you're going to be hitting and safeties. Okay? Maybe he can use a little bit of technique guidance and tutelage, you know what I mean, from one of the elder statesmen such as Jeremy Curley. If they both make the roster, I think it's a win for the 49ers. If only one of them make the roster, I think we hurt ourselves no matter what. Because then there's also the risk of injury. And I can promise you this, if either one of those guys don't make our 90-man roster, another team will pick them up. I promise.
No, listen.
I promise you.
Taylor's not going nowhere.
And I don't think Curley's going anywhere. Because of depth. Because, listen, you lose, let's say they cut Curley. All right, let's pretend I agree with you. And Jeremy Curley gets cut. And in week four, Taylor, I don't know, he fractures a pinky. Okay, it's not broken, but he's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. Right? What are we doing? What are we doing in the slot position now?
Well, you got Bolden. You gotta. My thing here, Mike. It's not necessarily cutting Curley. What happens if a team calls you for Curley?
Okay. All right. See, now we're talking. Now we're changing up the tune. Curley's not walking for free. I can guarantee you that. Now, if a team comes calling. And they say they're willing to give up a fourth or better. That's a different ball game right there. That's completely different.
What happens if they offer a corner or an offensive guard?
Player for player trades don't happen often, but yeah, it's something you have to consider. You have to consider it. But here's my thing: there's no veteran presence left in the slot position. If you get rid of Curley, there isn't one. Who are we going to say? Smelter? Are we considering him a veteran with all of his zero games experience?
Clearly the veteran of this group, I'm not saying slot. I'm saying of the room, the wide receiver.
Oh, no. I was talking specifically slot. Yeah, you're right. I know we got Garcon there. We got Goodwin there. We have veterans. You know what I mean? We have veterans there. But that doesn't mean that they're going to help with the slot. It's different. It's a different scheme. It's a different game there.
Like, I've been reading on Twitter that people are trying to say, why keep Taylor because you have Aldrick Robinson, but Robinson plays the outside.
Right, Robinson's not a slot guy, right. Not saying that he can't go inside, but he's not a slot guy. That's why you keep both of them. I absolutely think Aldrick Robinson, Jeremy Curley, and Trent Taylor should be maintained. That also means Pierre Garcon.
All three of them will.
And I believe Pierre Garcon should be retained as well. Okay? Now
it's going to be Garcon, Goodwin, Robinson.
Yep. Goodwin is the fifth.
Taylor.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Curley.
Uh-huh. But
my thing is, I mean, you read it a lot too, Mike. Whose name do you keep hearing? There's two names you keep hearing besides Taylor. Bolden. And you keep hearing Bourne.
Right, but that's because people are impressed. Listen, so it's one thing to see someone doing well. It's another thing to be impressed with somebody. And what does like, in order to be impressed by something, you have to have a set expectation that they exceed. For undrafted free agents, that expectation isn't that high. So if they come in there and they have a couple of good grabs, okay, yeah, that's cool. That doesn't mean they're better than what you saw somewhere else. That's all I'm saying. Because they exceed expectations, you're impressed. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. So when Friday comes, let's bring this back to the preseason. When Friday comes, what are we looking for? Because the average fan, no fan is really going to know what the play call is. So we don't know what routes guys are supposed to run. So don't tell me to watch route running. Don't tell me to look for you know, 7-step drops, 5-step drops. We don't know what the call was. So what are we looking for when we watch this team? Are we going to see the starters all game? Break that down first. What can we expect to see from the rotation there?
All right, we're going to see the starters for the first quarter on both sides. Then from what I read, Vetter is going to get time with the twos.
Wow. Right away, he's coming in with the twos, or he's going to get time with the twos?
Barkley, Vetter.
Okay, all right.
But both of those guys are going to work with the twos.
All right, I like that. That's fair.
And then after that, Kyle didn't say in his press conference today, but that's on the quarterback side. But basically what I want to look for and all the fans should look for is basically moving the ball, stopping the run, pass rush, the defense, three and outs, special teams, like the field goals, good punt returns, field position. You've got to look at all three facets of this game because
all three.
You don't know what to look for.
Right.
You don't know what to expect.
Okay. So let's talk
it's
about...
It's not like year two of Chip. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Carrying over.
Yeah, so, all right, so let's go back to the very beginning as far as the starters time playing. All right, if Kyle is saying the first quarter, all right, expect the starters to play for the first quarter. Now, what that usually means is about three drives. I think that if there's a lot of turnovers, I don't think that they're going to keep going. I don't know, maybe they will. But let's just say, all right, first quarter. Second and third quarter are going to be the twos.
Yes.
And then the threes, the last team, is going to be the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's what we should expect to see. All right?
Yeah.
Now that that's out of the way, as far as what to watch, on offense, I do think you want to see how guys cut. Not so much how many yards out they run. We don't know what their assignments are, but how they make their cuts. If you're watching wide receivers, how crisp is it when they go, they're running forward, and they stop, they put their foot in the ground and turn. Right, the route running skills. That's one thing you want to watch. Another thing you want to watch for your wide receivers, are they catching the ball with their hands, or are they catching with their body? Are they going after the ball? The ball's in the air. Are they going towards the ball to grab it, or are they waiting for the ball to fully arrive to them? Because the guys that stand there and wait for the ball to get there, if they're facing it, they're leaving room for interceptions and batted passes. Get the ball. Get to the ball and make your cuts and go. Okay? That's what I'm looking for from the wide receiver position. From the quarterbacks, I want to see all four of our quarterbacks. Yes, four. It's not just a matter of Hoyer, Barkley, and Beathard. Nick Mullins is also on the team. I want to see all four of the quarterbacks throwing the ball with anticipation. I don't want you having to make eye contact with a guy. He shouldn't have to turn around, stare you in the face for you to deliver the ball. Now, I understand some routes call for that, but not all routes call for that. Okay?
It's going to be different. You're going to see the quarterback throw the receiver open.
Yes. Yes. That's another thing.
It's not going to be behind. It's not going to be short.
Yes.
Listen, Mike, I'm going to cut it down for this. I'm just so damn glad to see this offense. That's it. This is a real offense.
Yes, a real NFL offense. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to see tons of different formations. You're going to see the shotgun under center. It's very exciting right now.
You're going to see a lot of play action. You're going to see some deep shots.
See the boots.
You're going to see the boots. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's going to be a pro-style offense.
And that's what you want to watch.
And you finally have a damn quarterback that is accurate.
Yep. Absolutely. And then here's another thing. So we talked about all the skill positions. The running backs, you want to, this is what you want to see. In Kyle Shanahan's offense, you want to see the running backs making one cut, not jumping.
One cut it up the field.
Exactly. One cut. And what a cut is when they get the ball, you can see them jump and then go. One time. Not bounce, 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 go. You want to see your running backs make one cut and go. One quick bounce.
See Hyde.
Yes.
Because Hyde danced around last year a little bit.
Yes, he did. But that was because we had a bad offensive line, which takes me to my next point. Let's talk about the trenches and what we want to see from these guys. Because this blocking scheme is a little different than what we were looking at last year. Okay, for the offensive linemen. Okay? What do we want to see from these guys? How can we tell if the linemen are doing a good job? Is it just a matter of, oh, he didn't let anybody get close to the quarterback? Or, oh, he didn't let anybody get close to the running back? Or do we want to see them opening holes in the run game? You know what I mean? Like, let us know what we want to look for.
Chip ran the inside zone. Kyle runs the outside zone. Okay. Similar blocking. It's all downfield reach blocking in the run game. So what you want to see is the linemen reaching and getting to the second level.
Mm-hmm.
Linebackers, if there's a safety in the box, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if the runner...
Wait. Let's break that down really quick. Just what the second level means. Because, again, let's not talk like people understand all this stuff. If you guys are advanced and what we're saying is boring you because you already understand all this, I'm going to recommend you guys go listen to the Better Rivals podcast. They will give you way more depth than what we're talking about. Well, yeah. We're doing this for the fans who are going to watch preseason and don't understand why this started. Why is Brian Hoyer not in? Why is Carlos Hyde not in? This is who we're talking to, okay? Well, getting to the second level is, all right, they snap the ball. You're not just blocking the defensive lineman. Now you're looking for a linebacker. You're looking for the safeties who are coming down to make the tackle. You're looking for the guys in the second level of the defense. If you can get make your block, let these guys get ahead, and you want to continue to run in front of the person with the ball. Here's my play that I'm going to bring you guys back to. Think about Alex Smith against the Saints in the playoffs.
The sweep,
yes, exactly. Alex Smith.
Basically, Mike, just to better explain it, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, man.
If the zone is to the right, everyone, all the linemen step play side. So everyone's stepping to their right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it depends on the front, but the backside guard is going to either try to hook the nose or the head up or outside shoulder on him.
Yep.
The center is going to punch in and work to the linebacker. The play side linebacker.
There you go.
Or the away from play, the weak side linebacker.
Uh-huh.
The tackle is going to hook the end and Juszczyk comes around and gets the play side linebacker.
Yep.
But while all that's going on, Hyde is going to be running down the line to the right until he sees that.
Yep.
It's one cut, shoulder squared.
And go.
Through that hole.
Yep. You hit the gas. You commit to it. You got to trust it. And that's what we have to look
now,
for.
Now, once you get 5 yards down, you want to put a move on, that's then. So you're past the line of scrimmage.
Right. Exactly. They block for 2 or 3 yards, but they want to see what you can do afterwards.
Now, if Carlos Hyde comes out with, let's say they get the opening kickoff, they return it to the 25. They come out first play, Hyde goes 6 yards downfield before he gets hit. That's a win.
Absolutely.
That means the line is executing the zone block scheme. Stepping play side, hooking, going to the second level. Everyone's a man on a man.
Yep. Absolutely.
Where you compare it to the power run game, it's double team, combo blocks. It's different. Everything's moving play side.
Right. Play side, the side that the ball is going to.
Correct.
I'm trying to make this as easy for people to understand as possible. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. So that's what you're looking for as far as the trenches on the offensive side of the ball.
Continuity is the most important with that line.
Yep. You don't want to see the center, the guard, and the tackle, like one of those guys collapsing and the other guys going towards them or in that direction. You know, those are supposed to be the strong guys. Those are supposed to be the guys setting the tone on that side of the play. So that's what you want to be looking for. Now, on the flip side, the defensive line. I got one word for you. This is what I want to see. Well, no, I'm changing it up. There's two things, three words. The first two words are one product. That's gap integrity. And then the second thing I want to see is one word, which is pressure. Tony, break this down for me. What can we expect to see? Now, we're doing a new thing with an eight-man box with Eric Reed, the strong safety playing down the box. All right, what does that mean for people? What should we be looking for in the first quarter?
Well, basically, this defense. I mean, listen, it's preseason. They're not going to show their full hand.
Right.
But basically, in this new system, it's a single gap. No more two gapping. So if you're assigned to the A gap, if you just want to sit there, you can sit there. You want to pin your ears back and fly through there like a madman? You could do that. This defense is made to be aggressive, physical, and get pressure.
All right, so let me break this down for people again. Think of a gap. All right, so in front of you is a box the size of a small refrigerator. To the right side of that box is what's going to be gap A. To the left side of that box is going to be gap B. Now, I'm just making this up so people understand, okay? What the guys had to do last year, it was a two-gap scheme. So the offense would snap the ball, and now Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner had to push back. They had to hold their guy and look to the left side of the box, look to the right side of the box, make a decision, and go that way.
They would bench press the linemen.
Yes. They had to push these guys out, hold them, make a read, and then decide on which way to go. After they did that, the linebackers behind them had to hit the opposite side of which. So let's say I'm Eric Armstead. Hike, I got my arms out, I'm holding the box, and I'm going to go to the right, to my right of the box. That means now Navarro Bowman has to hit the left side of the box. Okay? This defense is much more simple than that. Now, when they snap the ball, they already know I'm going to the left side of this box, and I'm going to go hard. Like Tony said, you can either go hard or you can stand there and make sure that no one passes you in that hole. That's your gap. That's your space. You are responsible for that right there. Did I explain that right? Is that good enough? All right.
Yeah. You're going from a read and react to an attack.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see these guys maintain their gaps. I don't want to see anybody running through what is going to be an obvious gap, an obvious space for a lineman to be responsible for. Now, it's going to happen. This is the NFL. These guys are going to be blocked. Running backs are going to get through. It's going to happen. But I want to see them at least getting an arm on a guy. Slow him down a little bit. You might not be able to make the tackle, but show me that you are there and you can hold your responsibility for the second guy, which is a linebacker, to get there and help you out. And if it's a passing play, oh, man, I want to see pressure. We've heard all season about how big and strong Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner are. These guys are the Twin Towers people keep calling these guys. I want to see these guys push. I want to see these guys use their size and crash the offensive linemen together, collapse these pockets, and just push guys towards the quarterback. Is that too much to ask for?
No, but I'm going to give you another name.
I got a name for you that I can't wait to see also. I wonder if it's the same guy.
It probably is. Finally, this individual.
No.
This team that fits his ability.
No way we're going to say the same name.
Say it.
On the count of three, you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three, Tank Carradine.
Tank Carradine.
Get the Let's go. Yes. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. All right, go ahead. Tell him what you want to see. Go ahead.
When he came out of Florida State, his hand was in the ground. Obviously,
he had responsibility of outside containment in a run game. But when it was third and long, the man clearly pinned his ears back and got after the quarterback. Unfortunately, he suffered a knee injury. He had to get through that. Got drafted by San Francisco in the second round, number 40, number overall. And they beat him up. They thinned him out. They played him as a 3-4 defensive end, stand-up outside linebacker. And now he's in the spot. But he's got to hold off Solomon Thomas.
Which, by the way, he's doing so far.
So far. Listen, I can go here and tell you names, Mike. I just want to see these units play. I want to see the offense, the defense, and the special teams.
Special teams, man. Listen, this is special teams you can keep easy. Okay? If it's a field goal, we want to make sure that you guys aren't allowing a lot of pressure to the kicker. Okay? If it's a kickoff or a punt, we want to make sure, all right, if we are the ones doing the kickoff or the punting, we want you to get down there to where the guy receiving the ball is quickly and not let him get past you. Do not over-pursue. There's nothing worse, nothing pisses me off more than a guy running past the guy and the ball's not even there yet. I hate seeing that. And we saw that a lot last year. It's not about how fast you can get down there. Get down there and stand right in front of him. Because his eyes are up in the air looking at the ball. You see him in his chest. You can see what he's doing. Stand right in front of him. And if he drops that ball, it's yours. You get what I'm saying? Don't touch him. Don't over-pursue. Get there and wait. You should wait. That's what we want to see. And if the ball's in the air and the guy gets under it, and if it's a nice high kick, and then our gunner, the guy who's running down there as fast as he can get in front of the guy who is catching the ball, and he's standing there before the ball even gets there, that is a great, nice, high kick. Because that means that there was enough hang time for the guy to get down there and be ready for what happens next. There's 0 yards of return on plays like that. That's what you want to see on punts.
There's one more thing I want to just bring up, Mike, with the special teams.
Go ahead.
We have a new place kicker. Robert, Dawson signed with the Cardinals.
Yep.
And we signed Robbie Gould.
Yep.
I want to see them work through it and the continuity of them working together as a unit and kicking the field goal. Because we still have the long snapper. We still have the holder, which is Pinion.
Right.
Now you got a new kicker.
And there's a backup kicker also. Let's not forget, there's another guy that's in camp. Nick Rose?
Nick Rose.
Yeah. There's another guy. Now, the odds of him making the roster, making the team, those are slim to none. But let me tell you, I've been keeping my eyes open for a dual kicker, a guy who can do punts, kickoffs, and field goals. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. The only reason I like Bradley Pinion is because he can do all three of those. That was the only reason I was okay with the Niners drafting him. Now they
can kick field goals?
Yes. Yes. Look up. Okay, here we go. Here's a little challenge for you guys, and we're going to wrap this up because we've been going over an hour. And our GM is being shocked by what I said. Go on YouTube and type up Bradley Pinion field goal kicks. They will show real field goal kicks. And you will see him seeing how far he can kick a field goal. Now, it's not game settings. This is with someone holding the ball, and he's just booting it. Bradley Pinion is making 69-yard field goals in these video highlights. Almost 70 yards.
At Clemson?
I'm not sure if he kicked any field goals at Clemson, but I do know that these highlight reels show him kicking field goals from different angles, different lengths. I want to say he kicked one over 70 yards. So it'll be something that's very interesting to see. Now, again, this wasn't against a line, so he can do the low trajectory to see how far he can kick it. But Bradley Pinion is very talented, and he can do more than just punting. And I was hoping that he got a chance to do that, but we never saw it last year. So it is what it is.
If it worked out, you could save a roster spot.
That's exactly why I was hyped. Like, when we picked him in the fifth round, what was it, 2 years ago, I was like, yo, Trent Baalke is absolutely insane. You don't pick a kicker. Like, you don't do that. Kickers are a dime a dozen, and you can get them from anywhere. You know, and even when you do pick a kicker, look at Tampa Bay and what they did in the second round. With, what's that guy's name? Guerrero?
Aguayo.
Aguayo. They traded up for a fucking kicker, and this guy started the season like 6 of 10. You don't do shit like that. You don't pick up kickers in the draft because the crapshoot that you get from the undrafted guys is just as good or better than somebody that you would actually draft.
Correct.
The one time it's worked out, and I'm saying worked out in air quotes, is with Sebastian Janikowski, and he's the all-time points leader for the Oakland Raiders. And I think the only reason that's happening is because of how long he's been there. He's been there like 14 years. So,
yeah.
You know, in 14 years, 3 points a kick, yeah, you should be the points leader, you know? But whatever, yeah. Whatever. Let me calm down. I'm sorry. My Hold point on. Is to find a kicker that can do both. If we can find that, then by all means, let's do it. If we can find that, save a roster spot, that's what I want to see. I want to see if they let Bradley Pinion kick some field goals. Because you know he's the backup field goal kicker if Robbie Gould were to get injured.
Yeah.
So why don't they work these guys out in preseason? I'm going to be looking to see if I can see him kick one. That's what I'm going to be looking for from the kickers. Hell yeah, let's get it. Let's get it, baby. All right, Tony, man. I think we've been talking long enough. Is there anything else you wanted to add to any of this, man?
I just want to say I'm really looking forward to all the undrafted free agents.
Oh, yeah.
And all the new personnel brought in by the team. I want to see what they can do, especially right. The two safeties.
I tell you what, let's do this. Give me a starter that you want to see look really good against starters, and then give me somebody on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Maybe you have a favorite that is a long shot to make the roster. All right, and I know I'm throwing this at you kind of on a whim, but try. I'll go first, and then you can give me somebody afterwards, okay?
Good.
So to start everything off with, a starter that I want to see do really, really well, all right? I want to see Rashard Robinson do well. The reason I'm saying that is because I know that this secondary is going to be the weak spot on this team this year.
Mm-hmm.
I have no confidence in the secondary at all. Rashard Robinson is only a second-year guy. Yeah, he might be our starter, but he's got a lot of learning to do. He's got a small frame. He struggles against bigger receivers. Like, it's just going to be a mess, all right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to see Rashard Robinson do well. And not for nothing, but Kansas City has some very fast, speedy, shifty wide receivers, even at the wide receiver one position. So I want to see what Rashard Robinson can do. He's going to have the biggest
challenge.
Yeah, he's going to have the biggest challenge for all the starters coming up in this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So that's where I'm at as far as the starters. When it comes to someone who's a long shot to make the team, I'm going to say that I'm looking forward to watching, I already said Newsom, the linebacker, but I want to try to change it up a little bit. I'm going to go with, a long shot to make the team. I got a couple of guys in mind. I'm trying to decide on, all right. So I just did Rashard Robinson. Let me go to the offensive side of the ball. I'm gonna say Bourne.
I was gonna say him too.
Oh, all right. Well, then fine. You can say
no,
Bourne.
No, it's fine.
You sure?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. So I'm gonna go with Bourne just because I like the long shots at wide receiver. I like good stories, so that's what I'm gonna go with. I want to see what Kendrick Bourne can do. Hopefully, he can shape things out. Have a good game for him at the third and fourth quarters because that's when you're gonna see him heavy, and we'll just go from there. All right. So. Give me your starter, and then give me your long shot to make the roster.
My starter, and this is just for the game.
Oh, yeah.
Just Friday.
Yep, just for this game.
I want to see, this is tough. There's two guys.
Oh, he's got two of them.
I want to see Armstead and DeLeo.
Oh, that's so good, the defensive lineman. I should have done that.
And I want to see Foster.
What? I thought you were going to say Hoyer. I didn't say Hoyer because I wanted to say Hoyer. I thought you were going to say Hoyer, too.
Two starters.
Yeah, but Hoyer's a starter? All right, go ahead.
I know, but we know we have an Hoyer.
We don't. No. Timeout. 25,000 people know what we have in Hoyer. I'm not one of those 25,000. I have not seen Hoyer take a snap as a 49er from start to finish.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to say Hoyer, but I thought you were going to say him, so I purposely left him off. Hoyer is the real guy that's a starter. I can't wait to see how he does in Kyle Shanahan's system. And the Chiefs have a good defense. Like, let's not pretend the Chiefs' defense is like terry cloth or Swiss cheese and there's a bunch of holes.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I want to see Hoyer week three.
Okay.
Preseason.
Okay.
Where you go more than one quarter and you really show your offense. You open things up a little bit more.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
This is going to be basic.
Okay. All right.
I want to see Armstead and Foster on defense as the starters. I want to see Armstead apply pressure and set the edge. And I want to see Foster play disciplined football.
And Foster's for sure starting.
That's what they have on the depth chart.
That's interesting. That is very interesting. Okay.
Don't hold me to it. That's the depth chart that was released on Twitter. You there, Mike?
Yeah, no. Go ahead. Oh. I'm listening. I'm sorry. I was trying not to cut you off anymore.
And, of course, my boy, Mr. Jerome.
Lorenzo Jerome, baby. I love him. I love him. And if you guys haven't seen our interview with Lorenzo Jerome, yeah, I said seen. Go to YouTube.com and search for Nothing But Niners. We did an interview with Lorenzo Jerome while he was right here in Philadelphia. All right? Check him out. This guy is determined. He is absolutely somebody I am pulling for. I mean, you know, when it's your favorite team, you pull for everybody. But let's be honest. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't even know who Newsom was before this injury. Okay, I have been pulling for Lorenzo Jerome since I first read his profile. I love what this kid brings to the table. And after getting the honor, the privilege to interview him, I know that he's even better than anything you can read about him. I want to see Lorenzo Jerome shine. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This kid is talented. We need to see what Lorenzo Jerome can do. I'm with you on that, Tony. Great picks, man. Great picks. But you know what, faithful man? We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We hope you guys enjoyed. Again, check us out. I, personally, on Twitter, I am 49ersMike_NF. Tony, give them your Twitter handle, man.
It's NJNinerFan499.
NJNinerFan499. The actual Twitter handle is NothingButNine, ERS. That's how you can find us. You can reach us there. You send us pictures. We post them on the website. Guys, this is all about the fans. This is all about interaction. We want you guys to be in touch with us, okay? And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions for topics, make sure you shoot us an email, nothingbutniners@gmail.com, spelled out all the way, no numbers in there. Check out the website, nothingbutniners.com. We're on Snapchat. We are on iTunes. Tune in. We are even on Facebook. Find the Facebook page and click the like button. Invite people to like it as well, all right? We're everywhere you want to be, like your Visa card, but we're more dependable because there's something on us, all right? So, like Nick says every time he signs off, and as always, above all else, stay faithful. We out.
Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love, been repping from the start. Nothing but Niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our sixth ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it Mayday. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garcon going deep for six. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but Niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.